Rescue efforts continue in the Grand Bahamas and the Abaco Islands, and there are a lot of efforts to get relief to survivors. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. We're going to hear from State Representative Chevron Jones about the effort to waive visas for Bahamians. Broward schools have already announced that they're prepared to take in hundreds of students impacted by Dorian. Also, with so many groups gathering supplies and materials to send to the Bahamas, how do you know that it's getting to the right place and to those in need? We'll help you find that answer. And finally, we must remember that the Bahamas is made up of hundreds of islands, and most of them did not get hit as hard as Abaco and Grand Bahamas. We spoke with the head of tourism and aviation about why officials in the Bahamas want you to continue any planned trips that you have there. They say tourism will be vital to rebuilding those communities that were destroyed. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. At least 20 people are dead and many more are injured as rescue crews continue to survey the damage caused by Hurricane Dorian. For those who survived the storm, the experience was traumatic. Winds howling at close to 200 miles per hour at some times, and of course the torrential rain for multiple days. Reporter Andrew Borga with the Sun Sentinel had the opportunity to speak with a man who survived the storm, and Andrew joins us now. Andrew, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Keith Cooper and his connections to South Florida.
Yeah, so Keith was born in the Bahamas, but I believe it was in Nassau. And he came to West Palm Beach where he grew up and went to school. And then he also served in the military. And he entered the sort of hospitality industry and ended up coming back to the Bahamas in 2004 as a tour guide. He ran snorkeling trips and tour guides for ecology for college students. And, you know, he sort of had a thriving tourism industry business there. He was stationed in Freeport during this hurricane. And, you know, he rode it out for a number of days in a family home. And judging by what he told me yesterday, it was a harrowing, harrowing experience.
Yeah. I mean, tell me a little bit about what some of the things that he described, you know, the particular structure that he was in, what happened to it?
So he was fortunately one of the, you know, was lucky in the fact that the structure held up. You know, they lost power, they lost water, but they did have a generator. So they were able to power some, you know, small things during the storm. However, he considers himself very lucky relative to the images that we're seeing coming out of other parts of the Bahamas and Abaco and Marsh Harbor and even Freeport. So his the home that he was staying at, you know, held up. You know, he was fortunately, you know, he's lucky because that wasn't the case for everybody.
What is he doing right now?
When I spoke to him, he was literally just for the first time sort of making contact with people. He had left his cat and two dogs at a humane society in Freeport. And he was very intent on going to check on them. So I think that was one of the first things he went to do. In that process, he sort of drove around as much as he could to, you know, just take in some of the damage. He had told me about the airports being extremely damaged and a lot of, you know, trees, the roads are really hard to get through. So, you know, that was one of the things he was doing. And the other thing was sort of fielding all these calls. He had a lot of contacts in the tourism industry, people who go to visit the Bahamas, who make friends with them. And they were sort of asking how he's doing, how they can help. And so he's out there just trying to organize what relief efforts that he can.
You know, as you said, he's connected to the hospitality industry. And I wondered if you guys had talked about, I mean, look, right now, obviously, everything is still search and rescue, and eventually there'll be cleanup and rebuild. But did he have anything to say about, you know, long-term impacts of what he thinks this is going to have on business, his business, but just business in general there?
Yeah. He told me his business, you know, is going to be on hold for quite some time. You know, this is going to be a long rebuilding effort. He said he believes it could take years to sort of get back into shape. You know, the scale of this storm is something that he said that he's been through a number of storms, and he said he's, you know, including one that actually like tore down his house in 2016. He said he's never seen anything like this. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Is he going to stay there?
I believe he's staying there. He's sort of he's intent on helping out however he can. He has connections to people who are outside of the Bahamas and want to help. And he's really intent on just serving as somebody who can get resources to people who weren't as lucky as he was.
I'm talking with Andrew Borga, reporter at the Sun Sentinel. We are following the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian and the ongoing recovery in the Bahamas. You can find a list of resources, by the way, to support those in need on the island by searching hashtag Bahamas Strong on WLRN.org. Andrew, you also had the opportunity to speak with Congresswoman Frederica Wilson. She's a Florida Democrat that represents parts of Miami-Dade and Broward County. What did she say were the actions being taken at the federal level right now to help Bahamians?
She didn't speak so much at the federal level, but I know that she's, like many people, she's collecting donations, and she seemed like she's particularly just, she really wants to get back to the island, sort of what I mentioned in the story. She's doing all that she can to collect donations, to connect with officials, to figure out logistics wise. But as someone who has family back in the islands, she really wants to get there as soon as possible. Unfortunately, like many people, I think, who are trying to organize relief efforts are seeing, it's difficult to do that. The ports, the airports are, really, really severely damaged. And it's I don't think it's still very safe to even go there. So that's part of the issue, it seems, in getting relief there as soon as possible.
What did she say about trying to get that support here in South Florida, but also in D.C., mm-hmm. To get things out to the Bahamas and of course, doing all of this before the session starts?
Again, it's not something we really touched on as much. I think we didn't really mention DC in our conversation. I know that in South Florida, she's trying to organize, there's a big Bahamian community here. She mentioned that the Bahamian people have a lot of ties to just the founding of South Florida. She wants to, sort of create that exchange so that people, have the Bahamian people in their hearts and minds and are going to sort of step up and mobilize to help them. I mean, we had all these supplies and efforts that we organized for Dorian, and, thankfully we were able to miss the storm. And so I think that, I think she's trying to make sure that some of that stuff goes to the Bahamas,
And by any chance, also, just because you talked about it just a second ago, the challenge of getting any of these supplies to the islands, in most cases, I mean, the airport's not even open, available for that opportunity. Did she talk about or have we learned anything new about how we're trying to get those supplies there?
So I talked to a few organizations and just independent businesses that were trying to organize and get things over there. But the ports are down. The airport, I think, is hopefully going to be getting, Marsh Harbor Airport should be getting back up today, I believe. It's not safe, to get things over there yet. And it actually reminded me a lot of Puerto Rico, where I had family in Loíza who were hit by both Irma and Maria. And afterwards, just like many other small towns and rural towns, it's difficult to get to them on the roads. If the sort of official points of entry are not safe to get through, it's really hard to get places. And it could be a while.
Andrew Borga is a reporter with the Sun Sentinel covering Hurricane Dorian. You can read more of his reporting by going to our social media. Search WLRN Sundial on Facebook or Twitter. Andrew, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, still to come, we're going to hear from State Representative Chevron Jones about the efforts in Florida to get those supplies to the Bahamas. How are we going to do that? We'll learn more coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott have asked President Trump to waive some visa requirements for Bahamians impacted by Dorian. Democratic State Representative Chevron Jones is also asking the president to do this, calling the effort a win for everyone. His area includes southeastern Broward County and has been leading relief efforts with local organizers here in Florida. Representative Jones joins me now. Representative Jones, thank you so much for the time. I know you've been doing the circuit.
Oh, my goodness.
You've been out there talking to a lot of people.
Yeah, because the issue is so important. Outside of me having family over in the Bahamas, as you know, the Bahamians have a very deep-seated root here in South Florida. So it's the right thing to do.
What part of the Bahamas do you have friends and family?
So my family is not only from Nassau. They're from Freeport. They're from Cricket Island. They're from Cat Island. They're also from Exuma.
And how did it impact them?
It impacted them a great deal. One of my cousins, I think I shared that picture, that video on Twitter of them in the house, in the roof coming off, and them asking for prayers. And then other videos I shown were videos of my family members, of their friends, and things that they sent them and what was happening. And it's bad. My cousin, who works for the Bahamian government, even asking him how are things over in the Bahamas right now? And the only thing he can continue to say is because it's very bad. It's so bad. And they will need our help for a long time.
You received a voice message from your cousin. Is it the same cousin, Nico?
Yeah, Nico Gibson.
All right. And this is what he said.
That is accurate. I've been flying patients out of there all day today and last night. A search and rescue is still going on. We're still trying to account for folks, for families. We're just the airplanes that are going in are carrying, you know, food and water and emergency supplies, you know, to keep them going, you know, while we get all of the people that really, really need to get out of there out. So there's a lot of injured people. We're just trying to, you know, we're doing rotations right now, getting them out. And you're exactly right. I think next week will be a better time. You know, at least the emergency efforts should have died down and they will be open to, you know, people going in.
What's communication like right now?
So my family and I, we communicate a lot through WhatsApp. And so they are now connected to Wi-Fi, of course, with WhatsApp. But right after the storm, we started losing connection with each of them very slowly because their battery started dying, which was the scary part of that. But a lot of people are not that fortunate because some individuals who families are still can't be found, they have lost all communications with them. I did speak with Senator Rubio this morning, and he made it very clear that his hope is that they can help the power companies try to restore some sense of power within Abaco, within Grand Bahama, Freeport, to begin to allow some of those families to get in contact with some of those family members if they can.
What are you hearing? Because, I mean, obviously there's so many stories coming out, and because communication could be iffy, you know, there are stories and images and all kinds of stuff that's coming through. And, I mean, I've heard about, you know, with the search and rescue, mm-hmm. you got people on their personal craft and vessels yep. and even wave riders mm-hmm. trying to pull people out.
Yeah. Yeah. After speaking with Nico, even after you just heard on the message, Nico has made it clear that it's just a huge search and rescue effort right now. So many people are injured. And the individuals who are actually over in the Grand Bahama or Abaco Island right now are individuals who are a part of the U.S. Coast Guard or a part of the Bahamian government or search and rescue who are pulling people out of their houses. And he's made it clear that the death toll is going to rise. The 20 number 20 that we now, have, yeah. right, we're at 20 right now, but he says each day there will be more. Go ahead.
Where's your family staying? Mm-hmm. Where are people staying right now?
So currently right now, we do have two family members that's currently in Freeport and they're in shelters right now. Okay. But the rest of my family is currently in Nassau, and the rest of them are currently in Cricket Island right now. So they are still over there. But I also want people to understand that the entire Bahamas is not.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, I mean, later in the program, we had spoken to the director of tourism and aviation who was in Nassau.
Yes.
And, you know, she will also remind people that the Bahamas are hundreds of islands.
Hundreds of islands.
And so most of it was not damaged or harmed,
right.
not in the same way. You know, one of the things, too, I found impressive is, you know, even before the storm was over, mm-hmm. because it sat there for a long time, people here in South Florida were already, yep. we got to gather materials, we got to get as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
And I mean, look, we had Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of storms. But I mean, you know, have you seen anything like this before?
Never seen anything like this. And it actually was a beautiful thing to see. Not just people pulling together, but also seeing people put political parties aside for the sake of the people of the Bahamas. The Bahamians have deep ties in South Florida. That's it before. Yeah. And I think that has something to do with us and how we are pulling together to help the Bahamas.
Now, one of the tricky parts is as we saw this with Puerto Rico, is trying to get supplies there. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to collect supplies, mm-hmm. but there must be a coordinated effort, or because we don't want to see supply ships and supplies sitting in a dock.
That's right.
Like we did in Puerto Rico.
I'm so happy you said that, because yeah, you know, everyone has everyone is coming with such good intentions, but I would really recommend everyone to operate through Consul General Linda Mackey's office. Her office has been tremendous in these efforts. Consul General Mackey, they are directing individuals on approved places where they can drop off goods to make sure that they are not just sitting in warehouses, to make sure that they get into the hands of the right people. Because right now, people are already abusing this tragedy and trying to use it as self-gain, whether it's financial or whether it's off of the goods.
Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, the death toll is rising, and we expect it to continue to rise. Do you trust the information that's coming from the Bahamas? And I know Puerto Rico is a different situation, and yet I have to bring it up because there was so much misinformation. We didn't get the numbers. We didn't know what was really happening. Mm-hmm. Do you trust what's coming out right now?
And you know what? I do. The Bahamian government is a very organized government, and I trust them at their word right now to the best of my ability. So yeah, I would say yes, I do trust them and what they are saying right now. And my hope is that as we do trust them and what they're saying, that the Bahamian government also understand that we're looking to them to be very forthright with us on what their needs are, to make sure that the U.S. and the efforts that we're putting forth are not being taken advantage of, which I don't believe is what's happening, right? But I just want to make sure that, one, services are getting to the Bahamas as need be, and in return, they're allowing us to tell us what it is that they really need.
I want to come back and ask you about your family. Mm-hmm. Is everybody okay?
Everyone in my family is doing well. I have two of my family members who work for the Bahamian government, one for search and rescue, and my other cousin, Chrissy, who works for, she's an immigration officer, and everyone is on the scene right now. It's all hands on deck for officers that's over there.
Are you planning a trip?
I am.
At any point soon?
I am. So I was actually going to work and go between Friday and Saturday, but considering what my cousin just shared, I want to give them the space to be able to do the work that they're doing when it comes to search and rescue. But my hope is to go over there at least Monday or Tuesday, at least for a day, one, to check on them, and two, to see if there is anything I can put my hands to help. That's where my family is from. That's where my roots are at, and I feel obligated to help.
You know, the other thing that I've learned, and it's not really surprising, but in these last couple of days, is that, you know, the Bahamas have taken hits from hurricanes maybe more frequently than Florida, because, I mean, you're right there. You're kind of before us. But they also had some of the highest standards for construction. Mm-hmm. And yet they've never seen anything like this before. And I'm wondering if, you know, there has to be a conversation about either rethinking how we rebuild, or are there places we shouldn't rebuild?
I think that's a good question, but I also would like to add to that to say that the Bahamian government, over the past few years, they have been looking at South Florida and our building codes and trying to copy a lot of the things that we do here when it comes to building requirements, because they are right there where hurricanes and tropical storms pass directly through. I think now that we're in this, on this side of the coin, that Hurricane Dorian has now passed, I believe that the Bahamian government will now look and consult with us just a tad bit more as they work to rebuild, which I believe is this rebuilding process is going to be a long period of time. But as they plan to rebuild, I believe they will look to us to help them and rebuild to see how this looks. We know Homestead well. all, and how what Andrew did to us. And so I'm sure they're going to be looking to us to say, how can we prevent this from happening like this again?
I do want to mention, by the way, too, is and we come back to this question of recovery efforts, search and rescue, and so forth. Miami City Commissioner Ken Russell is now fighting to allow local search and rescue teams to assist. This is what he said.
Our USAR team, Urban Search and Rescue Team, is not allowed to deploy to the Bahamas. They're being held by the state and federal government in case there's an emergency in Florida or up the coast. This team is very nimble. I've spoken with our fire chief. We are ready to go and can be there at the drop of a hat. We're only 50 miles from Bahamas right now, and this particular USAR team is one of the best in the country. As a large municipality that has dealt with many, many hurricanes, we have the equipment, we have the training and the manpower. We were deployed to Houston. We were deployed to Maria.
Real quickly, what do you think at the local level, but also the state level, what kind of assistance should we be sending over?
Yeah, and I respect Commissioner Russell for his efforts in doing that. I think as the storm was passing, that helped could not go out from the state at that point in time because of our government not knowing where that storm was going to go here in Florida. And so they wanted to make sure that we were out of the clear first before things began to move forward. I have to give it to the governor. The governor did have a press conference today, and he did make it clear that now that the storm has passed and we are in the clear, we definitely want to make sure that we show respect to the Carolinas because they helped us out when we were in need. But we also want to look at the Bahamas and see what services that we can give to them, in which he has given authority for those services to be provided to them.
I'm talking with Democratic state lawmaker Chevron Jones. Jones' family still remains in the Bahamas. They were impacted by Dorian. I want to bring in now quickly Valencia Gunder. She's a Bahamian community activist in Liberty City, leading efforts to gather these supplies and needed goods. Valencia, great to talk to you again.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Tell me real quickly about your friends and family. How did the storm impact them, and how are they doing?
So my family is okay. Most of my family lives between Nassau and Freeport. As we all know, Nassau didn't take nowhere near of a hit like Freeport and Abaco and some of the other islands. So my family's okay. I've actually spoken to my family, and everybody is good. And, you know, they have to do some fixing, but they're okay. And I'm happy to know that.
So here you are. You have been working on gathering food and supplies here in South Florida to get there. How are those efforts going?
They're going really, really good. The response has been overwhelming. Honestly, when I first put the post on social media, I wasn't expecting that type of response.
So what kind of goods and services are, or I should say goods and supplies, are you gathering now? And what do you need most?
So so far we've gathered, of course, water, lots of water, canned goods, other non-perishable foods, hygiene products, and cleaning products to send over. The things that we need the most of and that we're hearing from our people on the ground in the Bahamas is tents that people can live in, also shovels, generators, more medical supplies, and
by the
more
way,
hygiene products.
By the way, Valencia, who are these folks you're talking about in the Bahamas right now? Are these volunteers?
So the people, we have identified a few organizations in the Bahamas that we're going to work with in churches. And these are the individuals we are getting information from. And then also we have been working very closely with the Bahamian consulate here in Miami.
Have those supplies already started going?
No, not yet. We're planning on shipping the beginning of next week.
And where's it going to go first?
So our goal is to ship into Nassau first, because from what we're understanding, they are moving people, like evacuating them into Nassau. So that's where we're going to be sending the supplies.
You know, once it gets there, is there a way you're going to be able to track how those supplies are getting to those people in most need?
Yes, absolutely. So how it works is the stuff goes into the Bahamas. Register NGOs that have gotten clearance to actually pick items up and stuff. So we have to address it to this organization. The organization will be able to come there, pick up supplies, and then take it into the communities.
You know, we've heard about these efforts that they have to be really well coordinated. Officials don't want a lot of different people trying to fly stuff into the Bahamas. So it kind of what you were just saying there, I mean, but I'm wondering, like, how you're working with Bahamian officials to make sure that, you know, you're getting them there and they're being dispersed the right way, and that it's not just a bunch of people trying to get to the Bahamas.
Right. So, one, we're not going. We're sending the supplies. Our team decided that we feel it would be best for us to just send the supplies and coordinate with individuals that's on the ground in the Bahamas. So we won't go over there and take up space or, you know, use up any resources, and also make room for our trained professionals that are first responders to go in. We'll be sending the supplies, like I said, to organizations. And honestly, these are trusted organizations. I mean, I've asked my family about these churches and individuals, and they had good things to say. And some of the other community members in the Bahamas that are survivors also. So we trust that it'll get there. We're not going to send all of our supplies at one time. We're going to send one load of it, see how it goes, and then in the following days, we will then send more.
Representative Jones, real quickly, I wanted to ask you about Senator Rubio and Scott. As I mentioned, they're asking the president to waive visa requirements for Bahamians. Have you heard anything new on that request?
I have. I spoke with Senator Rubio this morning. He and I spoke for about 15, 20 minutes. We're waiting on the White House now. They're waiting on the White House. He did share that when he spoke with President Trump this morning, he shared with President Trump that, listen, the Bahamians are not looking for TPS. They love their country. They just need a place to rest their head and for a certain period of time until they can get back on their feet.
Are you hearing about people saying, you know what, we're going to have to come stateside, come to Florida, kind of rebuild our lives before we go back?
Absolutely. I have text messages. I have Instagram messages from individuals who are asking for their family to come over. One in particular, the president for the Miami-Dade NAACP, Ruben Roberts, they just found his father about 2 days ago. And I asked him, I said, do you need your father to come over? He said, yes, for medical help. So people are in need to bring their families over.
Valencia, are you hearing the same thing? I've wondered if you've heard from anybody that, you know, they need to come to Florida because there's nothing left for them there.
Yes. So it is a few folks who've reached out that I've talked to via WhatsApp who is looking for refuge here in the United States just for a short while until they can get back on their feet. And then there's a lot of families that live here in Miami who have been reaching out because their loved ones are sick. They're on that island and things of that nature, and they really need to get them off the island so that they can get them the proper medical attention. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's been a big thing.
You know, because we saw a lot of Puerto Ricans coming mm-hmm. to Florida, coming to the United States, the mainland, because they just life was it was impossible to continue. Though a lot of them do want to return, but Representative Jones, I'll start with you. We did already hear from Broward County, Robert Runcie, superintendent, saying, "Hey, we're ready for the students. Do all the services in place to help families when they get in here? What does that look like, by the way, to help them at least get their feet on the ground and get started with something?"
Look, I understand that it's going to be a large undertaking, and I'm so happy that Superintendent Runcie has taken the lead to speak about that from the education perspective. But we know that there's deeper than that, right? Because there's a healthcare perspective that we have to look at. That can we take that load on? I believe we can. I believe the governor, if once he see the need, I believe that they will assess how to do this in an organized fashion to ensure that the Bahamians who do come over to seek refuge and to receive that medical attention, that they do not become a burden to what's already happening here within the states. And I'm sure that I'm more than confident. And looking at the outpouring of support that has happened, I'm sure that we will have the capacity to be able to take care of those families, because we're not talking 10, 20,000 people, but we are talking probably a large number of individuals, maybe under 5,000, who probably would need that type of assistance. And I believe that we do have the capacity to be able to do that.
Valencia, coming back to you, what are you asking people again when it comes to supplies? Where can they take them? Or if you need volunteers, where can they go?
Yes, so we're here at the Dr. Dorothy Vendros Bendigal Social Economic Institute at 5120 Northwest 24th Avenue, Miami, Florida 33147. And we'll be here every day for the next week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. But we especially need volunteers this upcoming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they can drop off donations. They can come volunteer and assist on those days. We also have another spot in Broward County at the old Dillard Museum. Mm-hmm. And that address is 1009 Northwest 4th Street, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. 33311.
I'll make sure to get those up on our social media as well. Valencia, for you, do you think at any point you will try to make a trip out to the Bahamas to volunteer or help?
Yes, but I'm going to probably wait about 3 to 4 weeks, honestly. One, I want to make sure I can get as much supplies from Florida, from the United States, through our operations into the Bahamas. And I know that I'll do my best service by being here doing what it is that I know how to do best. Mm-hmm. And then also give them a little bit of time to try to wrap their head around everything that's going on. And then I'll go in and, be of assistance on that end of things. But I'm not planning on going right now.
How long do you think, Valencia, you're going to have to be doing this? I mean, just looking at the destruction, it's going to take some time before those islands can get back to any kind of normal.
Yes. So this immediate push that we're doing will probably last 2 more weeks. After that, we're trying to transition into trying to assist and fundraise for long-term recovery. I know within the next month or so, they're going to be looking for bigger items, things that they'll need to actually help rebuild structures and stuff like that. And I want to just be assisting long-term. So I am going to shift to that very soon.
Representative Jones, we have a session coming up in January. Is there going to be discussion, I'd imagine, in the session about what more the state could be doing?
Yes. We had Broward delegation meeting last night, and I was just voted in as the chair for the delegation. And my first question as we were preparing to end the meeting was for each representative to go back home to think of ways that we as a delegation can work together and what policies look like when we get to Tallahassee as early as in the next 2 weeks, because we start committee weeks on the 16th. And it would be good for us to speak to not just the governor's office, but also the speaker and the Senate president to see how and what those policies may look like.
I've been talking with Democratic state lawmaker Chevron Jones, also Bahamian community activist Valencia Gunder. We will keep you updated on everything that's going on with recovery in the Bahamas. Valencia, thank you so much. Mr. Jones, really appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And remember, you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We'll keep you updated on all the different places you can help, where you can get some of those supplies if you want to get them to the Bahamas. Well, still to come, we're going to hear from an official in the Bahamas. Again, as a reminder, the entirety of the Bahamas was not impacted, and they still need your business in helping recover. We'll hear more about that coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the crisis in the Bahamas does remain dire. As we have mentioned, at least 20 people have been reported dead, many more injured, some still missing, the number expected to continue to rise. Joy Jibrilu is the Director General of the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Aviation, and we spoke with her yesterday from the command center in Nassau. That's the capital of the Bahamas. And she began by telling us about how the country is in the early stages of rebounding from this devastation. Joy, describe where you are right now and tell me about some of the things you've seen.
So I'm in Nassau, or otherwise known New Providence, and this is the capital of the Bahamas. So really everything that we've seen has been from a distance. Notwithstanding, we did have the outer bands of Hurricane Dorian, and so we experienced some wind and rain, floodings in part of Nassau, but nothing compared to obviously the affected islands of Abaco and Grand Bahama.
And we have to remind people, too, that the Bahamas are made up of a lot of islands, and most of the damage occurred, as you said, in Abaco and Grand Bahamas. Tell me about what you've heard so far about the damage, the destruction on those islands.
Yes, and first of all, Lewis, thank you for making that point. And I think that's what differentiates the Bahamas from perhaps other Caribbean islands, in that we are an archipelago made up of over 700 islands. We actively promote 16 of them. But to have our two northwestern islands that are major centers of population, and obviously for tourism arrivals to the Bahamas, to see the level of destruction and devastation that has taken place, it's just heartbreaking. And I think by now the United States would have seen some of the images that's coming out, although every moment as more and more people leave, and particularly Grand Bahama, that was just able to be opened yesterday evening, you can see that we're talking almost complete devastation. So really heartbreaking. You're asking what we're seeing. It's also what we're hearing. The survival stories of people being rescued, what they needed to do in order to survive, and just the unexpectedness of a storm of this magnitude. Nobody could have anticipated it.
So I'd imagine that you've never, ever seen or heard of destruction on this scale, considering the Bahamas have been hit by so many hurricanes in its history.
That's correct. And in fact, the Bahamas, we probably pride ourselves on being able, as much as we can say so. Our building code is such that our buildings are well constructed to sustain winds up to 150 miles. We know what the drill is, what the routine is. We've never had loss of life during a hurricane. And so as we prepared in the normal course, certainly no one imagined that we would experience winds of 185 miles per hour, or that a hurricane would sit on one island for almost 24 hours without moving. It's unheard of in meteorological terms. And so even the meteorologists said they could never have predicted it, because it just does not happen. So it certainly speaks to the fact that things are changing around us, and we will have to prepare all of us for a new normal moving forward.
And that's an interesting point, this idea that, again, because of all the experiences you've had, you know how to handle this. We're seeing storms now that are much stronger. Dorian, one of the strongest ever to hit in the Atlantic Ocean. Do you think that we have to rethink our building codes and you know, all of our evacuation processes and so forth?
That is certainly a conversation that has been going around the Bahamas of late. I think records will show that there have been perhaps five Category 5 hurricanes, but four of those have occurred in the last 5 years. And so storms with this level of intensity seem to be becoming more normal. And we hate to say that. And you're right. You know, so building code that exists in the Bahamas, where buildings have to be built to sustain 150 miles per hour wind, that 20, 30, 40 years ago, we never saw hurricanes with winds of that level. And so this is completely different. So we are talking about that. We're talking about evacuation mechanisms, what that should be like. We're talking about kits for survival, what those should contain, given that sea surges were up to 20 feet. I mean, all of this is, if you'd asked me 3 months ago, I would never have dreamt we would have been having a conversation.
What have you heard about efforts to get any landing fields or docks open? How long do you think it's going to be before any kind of vessel or plane can go to the Great Abaco or Grand Bahamas?
Well, you know, I smiled to say when to landing docks for boats, etc. I think looking at Abaco, certainly, we know that probably approximately 75% of the island has certainly received levels of devastation that are unspeakable. We know that the airport has been damaged, as has the main airport on Grand Bahama. But we have been very, very fortunate in the support that has come both locally from Bahamians as well as the world. And the United States, as our closest neighbor, has sent out the U.S. Coast Guard. They have helicopters doing, I'm calling them shifts, but they're almost like a bus service going back and forth, rescuing people from Abaco. And I speak about Abaco because obviously the storm passed Abaco in the first instance. And so it was the first island to open up. Grand Bahama just received the all clear last night. And so they are just opening up now. But the same thing will happen there. And, you know, you have to smile in some ways and find a reason to smile through what has happened. But when you see people out on jet skis rescuing people on roads that are otherwise impassable, or you see them on canoes and you see them on you know, anything, paddle boards, etc., just rescuing people. Boats, people with boats are going down what would normally be a road or a highway to rescue people. And so the goodness of people that we're using any and every means possible to get to people. So not the traditional means by airport or by flights or by cruise ships or other ships, but whichever other way possible.
And the folks who are being rescued now from Abaco or Grand Bahamas, where are they being taken? Where are they being stationed?
Many persons have started to be rescued. And this morning we have seen flights come in or people come in via helicopter and U.S. Coast Guard planes that are able to get in to rescue people coming in from Abaco. I think Grand Bahama will come shortly. So while the majority of the people will come to Nassau, we also know that another island, Eleuthera, has been accepting some people and will continue to. And we expect that all the islands that are able to accommodate the amount of people who need to be evacuated from both Abaco and Grand Bahama will come. But Nassau, our capital, is receiving the bulk of them. And what is happening is as these people arrive at the airport, they are able to give firsthand accounts of what has taken place, how they got to safety, and also tell the story of other people who need to be rescued.
I'm talking with Joy Jibberloo. She's the Director General at the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Aviation, and she's speaking to us from the Nassau Bahamas Command Center. You know, one of the things is obviously there are a lot of groups here in South Florida who are already collecting items to send to the Bahamas to help those who are most affected. But could you give me an idea of the relief efforts and how they're being organized right now?
So, of course, as one can imagine, with a storm of this magnitude and with the level of destruction, devastation, and basic need, there have been a multiplicity of efforts in terms of the relief effort. The Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, we have created a web page, bahamas.com/relief. And what that does is direct people to all the official collection pages and agencies within the Bahamas. So the Red Cross, NEMA, which is our National Emergency Agency, and all the other official sites that can be verified. And so we know that there is a possibility that there may be some unscrupulous people at times like this. And we just want to make sure that people who do donate, that they can take comfort and that there's a guarantee that every penny or every donation that they make goes to the right cause. And so if I can say that website again, bahamas.com/relief, that will take people to all the various official portals, including private sector, organizations and agencies and entities who are doing their relief effort. So we're trying just to be a gateway and make it as easy as possible for people who want to contribute. And if I may add, Lewis, just allow me, this is a time of need. I mean, I've said to someone that I didn't know that I could ask so openly, but what has happened on Abaco and Grand Bahama is bigger than a population of 400,000 can cope or deal with. And the Bahamas needs help. And anybody who has a heart and an interest in offering assistance, we would be most appreciative. And we are so thankful for all of those who have helped thus far.
You know, the Bahamas, as you know, it greatly depends on tourism as part of its economy. I'm wondering if you have begun the conversation of coordinating with tourism agencies for those folks who want to visit and engage in volunteerism to help out.
So while we've not had the specific conversation in terms of volunteerism, and we know that that is a huge part of tourism in today's world, that so many people do want to travel and have an experience, a vacation with meaning. So we know that that's going to come next. But I think we're at the stage, if we look at the seven stages of grief, the shock and the denial, we're at that stage and we're now regrouping and saying, what do we need to do? But we've definitely engaged with our tourism partners in getting the message out. And the message is twofold. A, that the Bahamas is an archipelago and made up of so many islands. And while two of our major islands have been impacted, the rest of the Bahamas does remain open. And people can help by continuing to come to vacation in the Bahamas. Because at this stage, if you continue with your vacation, whether in Nassau or Eleuthera or Exuma or Long Island, you are helping Bahamians with the economy so that they in turn can help the Bahamians who most desperately need our help. So getting the message out that there was total devastation on two of our islands, but balancing that out with a need for life to go on so that we would be sufficiently empowered to do what we need to do to help our fellow Bahamians.
Joy, I wanted to get your personal take on this. You know, again, the Bahamas are a paradise and depend so much on visitors. But as we, you know, we move into a century where we're expecting more storms, more frequent storms, and more powerful storms. Is that a concern, you know, that it could harm the ability for the Caribbean in general to be able to survive on tourism?
Without a shadow of a doubt, and it's not just a new concern, it's one that all the experts and professionals have been talking about for a very long time. If we look at the Bahamas, we know that as a small island developing state, we're a very low-lying region and a country, and so we are most impacted by any changes to climate. In fact, we're the first to feel it. And if you listen to the experts, in fact, there is serious concerns. But in the immediate term to the medium term, one of the things that we're looking at is how do we build more sustainably? How do we learn from these experiences and ensure that resorts in particular are built away from coastlines, built to the level that they need to sustain such winds, even building for the community. And I don't think it's just specific to the Bahamas or the Caribbean. We are so close to Florida, and it truly is by the grace of God that Florida was spared, because Hurricane Dorian was forecasted to go straight through Florida. And so all of us have to sit down at the table and have these very real conversations as to the future. How do we plan for the future? And how do we do it without sounding so grim that we frighten the daylights out of people, but do it responsibly and with a conscience and achieve the desired outcomes for everyone?
Let me finish with this real quickly. You talked about what's happening right now. Of course, it's a lot of rescue or still, you know, going through and finding people. And then, of course, at one point, they're going to have to start searching for many of the people who are missing. But what are the steps after that? How does this play out in the process of rebuilding?
And I mean, you've talked about the first two stages. So one, it's just rescue, search and rescue. Following search and rescue, I know the professional teams from the various agencies and the respective government, what we call ministries, will go into the islands to do an assessment of the level of damage, of course, an assessment of the dollar value of what needs to be done to rebuild. Simultaneously, almost, you're looking, how do you house people in the short term, medium term, long term, if they have lost their homes? How do you rebuild these islands almost in their entirety? So that's infrastructure, everything that goes with it, roads, airports, ports. So there are so many steps, and the human element through it all, interspersed with everything I've said, is the human element. Children who need to get back into school, people who need to get to work because it's long term and they still need the dignity of having a job to be able to support themselves and their family. But at the same time, they need a meal. They need a place where they can have a simple bath and brush their teeth. They need clean clothes. And when we give clothes, we often forget that includes underwear. People have lost their shoes, and we've gone through this before. And I got a message from someone saying, no one has sent shoes, and there's no one in the community that has a pair of shoes. And so there's every single thing that you could imagine that needs to be done to help rebuild lives and communities and islands.
That is Joy Gibberlew. She is the Director General of the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Aviation. We spoke to her yesterday from Nassau. If you want to help several South Florida organizations now gathering relief supplies, you can find more information at WLRN.org. Well, that's our program for this Thursday, September 5th. You know what? Just want to mention we'll continue our coverage of Hurricane Dorian. And just to step away from Dorian, I want to remind people we do have a book club. We're going to be talking about that as well. So you can find us on Facebook. Just look up Sundial Book Club. Thank you again so much for listening this week. Have a wonderful Friday, a great weekend. I'm Luis Hernandez. We'll talk to you again on Monday.